Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome back to the Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate The Force Awakens one minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw. I like comedy and Star Wars and live on the internet.
I'm Jennifer Landa. I like Star Wars as well, and crafting and Jabba the Hutt.
Well, that's an unusual three.
It's the big three. Just right. Go great together.
Put it out there right away.
Those things also exist on the internet.
Yes, they do.
Most things do. It's the, right. I didn't mean to try to sound like I was bragging about living on the internet. Anything can live on the internet.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. Jennifer, this is your debut on the show. Joseph, of course, is a recurring favorite.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about minute 111 of The Force Awakens. What do you guys say to that?
Yes.
Hooray.
111 starts off with Rey and FN1187.
1187? How many minutes have you done?
I got confused with 2187 midway through that one.
Understandable.
Yeah, anyway, FN1138, you can edit that so I don't look like an idiot, right?
Yeah,
okay, I already did. There we go.
FN Docking Bay 94? Yeah, that's his name.
94.
It starts off with them opening fire on his former colleagues and friends, and it ends a minute later with the distinctive Kylo crackle appearing before a startled Rey.
Delicious Kylo crackle.
I would chocolatey. Not eat that candy bar.
Well, we start off, do we see some more Wookiee fingers at the beginning, right?
Yeah. So my first note is Chewy thumb.
I feel like I had never noticed Wookiee fingers before that shot, and I'm like, what did I think that Wookiee fingers would look like? Harry? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that they had never been featured in that exact way before, right? That there'd never been an important plot point that involved Chewie's digits.
Yeah, before. In 3D coming right out at you.
There was that time that he was trying to pick up that girl in the bar, and so he wrote down his
phone number. Yes. Yeah. 38-2187, right. Chewbacca's phone number.
We did 744.
We did go back and research, for the sake of the show, we went back and researched. We watched some of the holiday special, where there's lots of Wookiee manipulating of buttons. And
objects.
Mm-hmm. But like you said, Jennifer, they're more furry. There's like hair kind of all the way down, and it's just basically like a paw mashing at a button, and it's...
It's
not a distinct finger that you see bending and flexing and being gross.
Yeah, I have a new theory, because this has troubled people since The Force Awakens, since that trailer came out in a trailer, that shot.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I think narratively, it's so we can clearly see that he's hitting a button, but I now have the theory that that's just how Wookiee's bald.
Hmm.
They go bald from the fingers.
Oh, that's just his aging process. Yeah, because when Mala was cooking in the holiday special, it's just all fur that she's stirring around.
Putting in that food.
She was in her prime then. So now, you know, time has passed.
Yeah. She'd be wearing a hairnet during while she's cooking.
Like a full body hairnet.
Full body hairnet.
Like a ghillie suit.
You should only be able to see her eyes while she's cooking.
Oh, my gosh.
Or maybe it's a fashion choice. Maybe he purposely shaves his fingers, you know?
Right.
He's like, look, I'm a human.
Oh, yeah. Or if maybe he's really getting ready to go to war, it's like a scary montage.
Oh,
like
right.
He's putting on his bandolier. He's shaving his fingers down, going, I'm going to blow something up. Let me get out this big razor, this space big razor, not to test my blood. Yeah. That's for Phantom Menace. Anyway,
it's probably like a ham machine you put your hand in, and it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you're pampered, but if you're doing like, I want the kind of Rambo style montage of him kind of getting ready, doing everything, close up, like of him,
no hair off, his no muscles. Shaving cream or anything, just a dry,
just dry,
a dry shave. Wow,
and then
it's hardcore.
I'm experiencing that. Oh, uncomfortable.
Well, moving on to other things.
Yes.
Like this refinery blowing up. It looks like a refinery to me.
Yeah.
Mm.
It looks like, I feel like we've seen this kind of a scene in like 1,000 different action movies of heavy industrial things blowing up, you know, with no constant, no, like, you don't see people suffering or anything.
You'd rather they blow up like a field.
Yeah.
Or something.
I would.
Sorry, I blew up your field, mister. So you feel the heroes are bad for destroying the oscillator? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think it's great, but I just think that seeing this kind of shot of like orange explosions behind machinery is a very like, I don't know, modern kind of trope, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. There were a lot of explosions, right? Like how busy was Chewie the one going and planting the whatever it would
be? Chewie and Han, yeah.
Chewie and Han. I totally forgot this part.
Yeah.
Clearly. I need to go back.
They were in the trash
minutes.
Compactor and they got out, but then they had. Oh, wait, that was.
Wait a minute.
No, I mean, they made it home quite for a life few day. Explosives.
There's a lot. Like, I mean, they were busy.
Yeah, and they've been. Those are two buds who've been blowing stuff up together for decades, right? Yeah. So, I mean, they set it up for maximum explosive. Like, in theory, they wanted to sit back and watch and go, cool.
Right. Yeah. It's a successful implosion
of
the facilities. So one thing we've been talking about is we feel like in the marketing materials of the movie, they set up Finn as the hero. You know what I mean? The poster looks like he's the one holding the lightsaber. He's the man in the story, so therefore he should, by all rights, be the main character. But so this is another thing where I think they misdirect you, because they show Kylo Ren looking up at Finn and Rey, but then there's a close-up of Finn reacting to him.
Yep. Mm.
Rey does not react like the close-up of Finn being like, oh my god, that's my enemy I have to fight. And it's implied that they're like making eye contact and that they have a personal grudge.
Right.
Whereas Rey is not. They don't even, you want to see her reaction to Kylo Ren.
That's a great subtle moment.
I noticed that as well. Mm-hmm. And I thought, were they trying to purposely mislead us?
I think so.
Is it that John Boyega just had a really good reaction? They're like, just keep it on him. But it is very
or
much
Or she
like
had a really bad reaction.
Right.
Rolled her eyes.
I'm sure. But there is a clear like stare down between Finn and Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I wonder if it's the beginning of his arc in Last Jedi of trying to sort of lock in that he is really realizing First Order bad.
Mm.
Because like he has just been on this like, I want to get away from them. And he only came here to rescue Rey, not to face down Kylo Ren. But maybe so maybe they're trying to build up that like, oh no.
He has a personal stake in it now.
Yeah.
Well, in the script, it does say that Kylo looks up and recognizes them both with astonishment. So he looks up and he's like, those two. So he's kind of equally...
Those two!
Waving his fist. That shot is really great. It's like dreamy and hazy, so it feels kind of dreamlike, and I think it helps you remember that Kylo is unbalanced. Mm-hmm. And from his perspective, is like, you know, yes, I'm this dark warrior. And like, these two people have been a pain in my ass for the last 48 hours.
Got away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Exactly. You two kids. Your jacket swapping.
I have another question.
Yes.
I didn't have a first question, but here's another one.
Uh-huh.
Does Chewbacca know that Finn and Rey are upstairs right now? Because they're all inside looking in. Everybody's kind of standing around the, you know, arena looking at Kylo Ren, watching what just went down. Does Chewie know that Finn and Rey had walked in from outside? And does he know that they're up there before he starts blowing stuff up? Follow up, does he care? Would he still blow it up if he knew that they were there?
Mm.
I think he probably forgot they were there.
Yeah. Well, they didn't...
After Han died, he was just so like,
right,
I'm just so mad. And then he blows it up and he's like, oh, right, those other two people that they were there.
Yeah, because I think their plan must have been to meet up back there.
Right.
Because otherwise, Finn and Rey would have just gone to the Falcon or wherever.
Right.
Noticeable spot on Starkiller Base. They're like, I'll meet you at the tree. I think so. I like that idea that Chewie obviously has a moment of not a very good day when
right.
his best friend Han Solo suddenly is murdered by his son, and then has the presence of mind to shoot him immediately. Right. And then blow stuff up, and then it's probably just like, I got to go to the Falcon, and then like, oh man, Falcon's extra empty.
Right, right.
Didn't I have some plucky like, kids with me?
Keys, wallet, kids. Oh, I forgot those kids. Wait,
wallet, Finn, Ray. Right. You know, the old check.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely the case. He's just so laser focused, and I think he's
he's literally laser focused. Yeah. He shoots Kylo.
This is true, and he's so traumatized by what just happened. He's grief stricken, but he's like, I got to focus. This is what I'm thinking.
Right. Yeah.
So
he's got his head in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it tracks really interesting with his character, and I would want to go watch the other movies for this, that Chewie responds by action. Like, we see some characters be maybe contemplate things, but this is it's such a responseful reaction to seeing your best friend murdered by their own son mm-hmm. to immediately go like, okay, well, I should shoot him, and mm-hmm. then I have some things to blow up, and like, I will deal with all this later.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah, I guess in this case, Chewie is the Luke from A New Hope, where Ben gets cut down and Luke goes, no, and starts shooting. And you know, everyone else is trying to get on the Falcon and he's just sitting there shooting.
Yeah.
After seeing his father figure cut down by his father. He doesn't know it's his father, of course. So anyway, it gets all complicated relationship-wise.
Yeah, his new father figure cut down by the person he believes at that time murdered his father.
Yes.
So there lots of daddy issues.
Yeah. Right. So in Chewie's case, he's seeing his owner's son kill his owner. So he should be happy at that point, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that there's no sense of, finally out of that life debt.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, as soon as Han Solo falls off the bridge, Chewie's just like, and throws the bowcaster off the ledge.
Heading back to Mala.
See you suckers later.
You finally start growing my hands out again.
Well, that's it. Now I do, though, want to see the... If Chewie is the Luke in this situation, I do want to see them when they're leaving Starkiller Base. I want to see the scene where Chewbacca's crying at the chess table and they come over to comfort him and they're
that would have been just adorable.
That would have been a great moment.
Yeah.
As long as the person who is comforting him suffered a greater loss, the way Leia lost her whole family and whole planet, and she's comforting the guy who,
in a sense,
lost his
whole family and planet.
Yeah, so there could be a sin when Finn has almost lost his life. I mean, he's half dead, so I suppose Rey could have picked up Finn's hand and like made him pat Chewie.
So we get Admiral Ackbar.
Yeah,
Admiral Ackbar lets us know that the oscillator has been damaged but is still functional.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, we were talking about, I think it was last week, that there was a similar exposition scene with Admiral Ackbar that had been cut. And I was like, well, why are they going cutting Admiral Ackbar scenes?
Yeah.
Especially now that we know, like, why we want more of those. We need to, let's go back and get all the Ackbar we can. But
yeah.
But good to see that that's still in there. And then there's a funny thing. So then there's, Admiral Ackbar says that. And then we cut to a reaction shot. And this shot, there's a lot going on in this
yes.
shot. Because it cuts to two resistance technicians or
tech officers.
Officers, yeah. One of them is the first one we see, the first one that reacts. The actress. Neither of them are actually professional actresses.
Oh, wow.
Surprise! Surprise. They just basically realized that they needed a shot here, according to this, JJ in the commentary was just like, we after Ackbar said that, we wanted to they wanted to reinforce the time lock. So like, we needed somebody to say that, you know, the weapon will be charged in 2 minutes. So they just kind of went to the back of Bad Robot and they're like, okay, you and you, do you guys want to be in Star Wars here?
Nice. And
oh my
set them
gosh.
Up. And so the first person that reacts, the one that kind of seems sad, I think she's kind of blonde. That's JJ's assistant. Her real life name is Morgan Dameron.
Oh, yes. Wow. Yeah. Oh, my, yeah. Yes, I know that now.
And when they were...
Oh, that's like Poe Dameron.
Yeah. Well, that's when they were writing the script, they were like, Dameron, that's a Star Wars name.
Well,
Dameron.
That
was almost Poe Morgan. Right. They decided Dameron was a cooler
name. That's pretty good.
Or Morgan. What if Poe's first name was just Morgan? That sounds so earthy, Morgan. It's just like, But so Morgan Dameron is here in the minute, and she doesn't play, you know, Commander Dameron or anything like that. Here she's playing Commodore Meta.
Oh.
Because here's
Wait, Dameron, what's her rank?
Commodore. Commodore Meta.
This ain't your grandfather's rebellion.
And then, so next to her, the one who lets us know that the weapon will fire in 2 minutes. That's Tabala Zo.
That's the character
that's
or the
character's
actor?
Name? Character's
okay.
name.
Oh, okay.
Tabala Zo was played by Felicia Saunders. And she was the receptionist at Bad Robot. And they were just like, hey, do you want to come be in the shot? And in doing so, she becomes the first African-American woman playing a human character to speak a line in the Star Wars saga.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's insane.
Yeah. That, like, I had to think about that. I was like, wait, what? Really? And then going back, if you think about it, there's...
Oh, my goodness.
You know, you have people who play creatures and other, you know, kind of other races. Nobody's played a human or, you know, Corellian or, you know, humanoid, human type, and had a speaking line, and that has been an African-American woman. So... Sheerly by because they needed a pickup shot, we break this interesting barrier.
Oh, that's incredible.
Wow, yeah. That's what? Really, really cool and awful at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly.
So basically, J.J. Abrams is a hero.
Oh, there you go.
He's the green
breaking
book
barriers.
Of,
yeah, so this is a weird, like, there's a throwaway shot, so not a throwaway, but a pickup shot opposite. It just has a lot of weird stuff going on in it that I never would have known about had we not been looking at it minute by minute.
When you do these Star Wars minutes, obviously you pay attention to those little things. And I was wondering, like, why does the random person have the line rather than Admiral Statera, who's played by like a bigger name actor who doesn't get to do much?
Right.
Right.
Who's like, I think he has a reaction shot right at the end of this sequence.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why isn't he talking? Get some words in there, dude.
He probably said something else, and they're like, well, that doesn't really... Like, they had to cut that out in order to put in the, like, but we don't know how much time we have left.
Yeah,
like,
he said
something really important. You know, he was like, it's like, if we do this, it'll, you know, solidify the rebellion, you know, the resistance, and we'll be able to kind of... He just went off on this whole expositionary thing that was really meaningful. It was like a monologue.
Okay.
Like, we need to let everybody know how much time there is, so...
If I was filming a Star Wars movie, I would just film every actor, like, at the end of the day, just saying, like, random random phrases and, you know, things that if you ever need it, you can, like, they're coming, sir, or, like, you know, different permutations. So.
And better yet, have them start, you know, have them, like, look at the camera, say something, like, Commander, and then, like, turn their back towards the camera and then just, like, gesticulate for a while on one of those tactical displays.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That way you
every
can fill
single...
in whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the New York State Lottery is now, like, $10 million.
It's 2 minutes from firing the New York State Lottery. Everyone should scream no. And run.
I also wanted to say that we, the Admiral Akbar, I think the costume looks pretty good. We were talking about Nain Nunb, how he looks weird.
He does look weird.
Nain Nunb looks like he's got something going on with his head. Yeah,
like,
sure.
He's like, he's on like steroids, you know, he's like taking medical steroids or something. Like, he's kind of like puffy and, you know. But Akbar looks, I mean, Akbar is older too, and he sounds a lot older.
Yes, he does.
He's, you know, I wanted to talk about that because I love how thin his voice is.
Yeah.
And that they don't try to make it not thin.
Right.
I think it just adds to like the weight of like, the story of they brought him out of retirement and he was living in some nice cabana underwater.
Some aquarium somewhere.
Yeah, some aquarium. Like, with all his little kids swimming around. You're like, all right. Like, the voice sounds so recognizable as Akbar, but it sounds so much like you begged an old person to do something they were not really in the mood for.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, it's great that they went through those kind of, you know, they could have easily just been like, we'll just get somebody to do an Akbar impersonation. But they went and they got, or a Nain-Nun impersonation, which nobody would have recognized. Like,
Nobody in America.
Nobody in America,
right,
of course.
Right.
Yeah.
But then they went back and they got the original puppeteers and voice actors for both of these guys, and to be like, oh, it's a nice touch.
Yeah,
it is a nice touch.
I wish that this line would become as popular as It's a Trap, that people would just yell this out every once in a while.
The oscillator is still, oscillator's been damaged, but it's still functional.
Yeah, yeah. I
think we can start nice. That. Let's start that.
Right. The oscillator's been damaged, but it's still functional.
That could be the good, that's like the response. If somebody says it's a trap, then you reply with, oh, well, the oscillator's been damaged, but it's still functional.
There are circumstances where that would come in handy.
Sure.
Like anytime your oscillator breaks.
Right.
It still works.
Like, hey, what's wrong with that room fan that you bought at Walgreens? Well, the oscillator's been damaged, but it's still functional.
If you're having a crappy day, but you're keeping your spirits up, basically, you're getting through it. The oscillator's been damaged, but still functional.
It's about as much as you can hope for.
Yeah. In life.
Yes. I have some question as to how they know exactly all the intricacies of Starkiller Base, because I'm assuming they had not heard of it until it just showed up on their doorstep. So, like, how they're suddenly like, it's two more minutes until it can fire and all that stuff like
right.
that. But, you know, like you said, they just need to kind of establish the tension or whatever.
Yeah.
During those.
Well, I'm assuming they did get a decent amount of information from Finn earlier when they debriefed him.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're also getting, remember earlier they got like somebody handed Leia like a punch card.
Yeah, this is all Snap Temin Wexley's fault.
Yes.
Is the way I think it tracks, is because
he did like reconnaissance.
He did reconnaissance, and then the First Order picked him up. That's why the First Order knows where they are to fire on them.
So they should have just sent him somewhere else. Be like, Snap, just go.
Wait,
like,
so Snap away. Is the homing device?
Kind of, yeah. Okay. I think there's a line earlier in the movie that that they track Snap after he did the reconnaissance.
Oh, what a jerk.
Yeah. Huh. Way to go, Snap.
Yeah, more like Sap Wexley.
Oh.
But yeah, I was wondering how you guys felt about doing a show called Star Wars Minutes where they say, it's going to fire in 2 minutes, and then you can look by the minute.
Mm.
No, they're not.
Right.
For
right.
sure. This is a case of movie magic, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if this is accurate, if Tabula Zoe is accurate, then if you guys can come back all week, you'll be here for when they fire the weapon and the movie ends.
So right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, congratulations. Absolutely. Well, yeah, of course. Well, I love that it immediately goes from they'll fire in 2 minutes, and then we cut to Finn and Rey about 2 minutes away from where they just were travel-wise. Like, they're pretty far away. Like, I want to think that took at least 2 minutes to run.
Right. At least.
Yeah, up that ridge.
Yeah.
Well, and also then Kylo has to run from all the way downstairs he actually intercepts them on their way, so he had to be going even faster. Do you think he used the Jedi Force run? We haven't seen that.
I think he used the angry Force run, which is even funnier looking.
Steam coming out of him as he runs down.
Maybe there's a cut snowspeeder scene with him too, where he's just riding angrily, like driving. Like,
and he was already limping when he left, so he would really have to.
He took a speeder, I'm sure.
He needs to hoof it.
He's like, get out of my way! I gotta go intercept the kids.
Gotta intercept the kids. Jennifer is a parent. Do you say that often?
No.
The last thing I have is that I noticed that. What's his name? Kylo Ren leaves his helmet behind.
What's his name?
He does, yes.
So it makes you wonder, if does he have multiples of this? Is it like Einstein, where he has a whole closet filled with helmets and outfits?
I really like the idea that when, at the end of the movie, when Snoke tells him, tells Hux to go get Kylo, that he goes to find Kylo, and then Kylo's like, and get my helmet, too.
Oh.
And then Hux has to go back out to that bridge and pick up the helmet.
Oh, no. No, he's got to have multiples. When I find, like, a shirt or a pair of shoes that I really like, I will buy multiples of it. Like this pork shirt that I'm wearing. I had to buy two because I knew that eventually it would get worn out.
Do you rotate them so that they don't wear and tear as much? Or
yes,
do you wait
I do.
Until, okay.
I do.
Nice.
This is a weird obsession, and so I guess I relate to Kylo Ren. I'm guessing he has at least like a duplicate helmet. No,
yeah, when you say it as an obsession, it suddenly makes sense to me because because that is the obsessive sort of vein of like, not only did I get this to, you know, make me feel like my grandfather, I need three so I can always feel like my grandfather.
He polishes them, you know, he keeps them in nice condition. So, yeah.
What if one gets wet in the shower?
It's probably got a separate shower one.
Right. Waterproof.
Yeah.
beach and slash shower one. That's got to.
Yeah, I mean, if you need a different trooper for all of those environments,
right?
You need a different helmet.
I wish we had seen that happen in Last Jedi after he, you know, bashes the helmet and stuff, and then he would go into his room and just take out like another helmet and just immediately right. put it on. And then,
or he's just got like this huge bashing routine he has to do every night. He opens up this closet of hundreds of these, like, and he throws all of these.
He throws the bashed one on top of the pile of 35 other bashed right. helmets that he has. So.
Yeah, every time Rey has her Force Link with him, he's bashing another helmet. How many of those do you have?
Yeah. He hands it off to a kind of. Disheartened tinker robot who's just like, oh, and goes ding 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 ding, so you're banging it back into shape.
I love that.
But I do want to see the Kylo's helmet closet. That would be nice if he does have multiple different ones, and not only all of the same, but then ones for specific occasions. So you see him going in being like
formal,
kind of like Batman, like
beach wear, beach helmet,
right? What would the formal one be? It's already black and silver. Like, what would the
velvet.
Formal
one be? Oh. Ooh, yeah, crushed velvet.
Yeah, crushed velvet.
And there's
yeah.
a big bow tie just on the face of it.
Right in the middle.
Yeah, like a crown or something, a tiara on top. Mm. Well, that is all I have for minute 111. Does anyone else have anything else they want to add from this minute? Anything?
Jennifer?
I'm amazed at how much they packed in 1 minute.
It's a lot of activity in
it's
this
a
one.
Lot.
Yeah.
The stakes are rising. We have 2 minutes before the weapon will fire. I don't even know the quote you guys were saying. The oscillator. See, this is why it's not a good quote for me.
The oscillator is broken, but still, the oscillator is damaged, but still functional.
The oscillator's been damaged, but still functional.
It's still functional.
Yeah. There you go.
Oscillator's been damaged, but still functional.
The only other thing I picked out of the minute that is the kind of thing that I only see when I do this with you fellows is that right at the beginning, I think it's Rey who shoots a trooper right in the head. And then his legs just go out from under him, and it is quite a good comedy death pratfall as stormtroopers go.
Yes.
I wonder if that, was it the blast that killed him, or did he get, like, concussed and then collapsed, do you think?
Well, and then he died of starvation.
Yeah, I think it's...
He was just so hungry, and that was the last straw.
His blood sugar was very low at that point.
Looks like he dies of shame, because, like, he gets hit in the head, and his head rocks back, but then his legs just kind of go out from under him. And when you first watch it, like, cool. But then as you watch it 7 more times, as I did, it just gets more and more wacky. It's delightful.
And then, he gets hit in the head like Jango Fett and that stormtrooper. So it's continuing the thing like that. So.
So you're saying that's a clone of Jango Fett?
Exactly, yes.
Left over in the... Okay.
All right, then I guess we'll wrap up minute 111 then. Hey, listeners, you know how you can help us out? Oh, I thought you were going to continue your listener character that you were doing. Okay. however you got this podcast, be it iTunes or Apple, I guess it's Apple Play Podcast now, or any Stitcher. What's that other one we're on? Spotify. We're on Spotify, right?
Sure.
So go leave us a good review for our show to help spread the word about it. Do they accept reviews on Spotify?
I have no idea.
Give it a thumbs up or something.
Yeah,
or
lighthearted.
Make it a playlist.
Like it. Pull it up on Spotify and then just scream at your phone because I bet Spotify is listening.
Spotify, I like that.
Yeah, you can do all those things.
Right.
And then you can join us tomorrow for another brand new Star Wars Minute.